Blog Talk Radio.
Money is spent, a little bit of bag of food, and your baby need a pair of shoes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I tell you what you ought to do. Jesus can work it out if you let him. Diane Williams.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is the one and only Derek Oliver. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. Again, good evening. We just want to thank everyone for joining us tonight for this D&K Bible Break with my co-host, Ms. K. We just want to say welcome, everyone, for joining us on this evening. I'm sorry. Also, I want to say a special thank you to all of our sponsors, the Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Brentwood Publishing, Outback Steakhouse, and Pepsi for sponsoring the Chaos Talk Radio, also the D&K Bible Break. Also, I want to send a special shout-out to my co-host, Ms. Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Hey, good evening. Happy Monday.
And again, yeah, another happy Monday. We just want to, again, thank everyone for joining us for another D&K Bible Break. We just also want to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of our life, and for waking us up in our right frame of mind and giving us all the activities of our limbs, and just for blessing us. I'm excited about the show today. I'm ready to get started. Again, just want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Also, a reminder, the Chaos Talk Revival will continue this weekend on March 26th, 27th, and 28th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This Friday at 7:30 p.m., at 199 East Krogan Street in Lawrenceville, Georgia. If you want to stop by, come by that Friday night. We also will be doing Saturday. There's been a time change in Saturday. It's going to be Saturday at 5 p.m. instead of 7:30. 5 p.m. on Saturday. And again, we're going to wrap up Sunday morning at 9 a.m. So this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 26th, 27th, 28th, the Chaos Talk Revival. Where Do You Stand is the name of the revival. We have on Friday night, we have Elder Richard Taylor that will be bringing forth the word. Saturday, we have Minister Tobert bringing forth the word. And we're going to close out Sunday morning with Evangelist Stanton, awesome woman of God that's going to close us out on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Again, you can reach all those services right here on Blog Talk. www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, to listen to it online, or you can just dial this number, 845-277-9094. If you're busy on any of those nights, you can just call in and listen in to the services as well. It's going to be an exciting 3 days that we're going to have to close out the revival. It's actually Chaos Talk's first revival we're having, so it's been a success so far. So we just want to thank all those that are that participated and those that will be listening, and hopefully you'll be able to show up on one of those days. Also, I want to send a shout out to my engineers that's connecting us in Nassau, connecting us in Germany. I know it's late over there, and connecting us in London. I know it's late over there as well. So we just want to thank you all for listening and tuning in to our show. Now, without further ado, I'm going to bring in Ms. Kay. She's going to open us up with prayer, and we're going to get right into the D&K Bible Break show. Ms. Kay, you want to open us up?
All right. Father God, we come to you this evening, first of all, just thanking you for everything that you've done. Thank you for just being a hedge of protection all around us. Thank you for leading and guiding us day in and day out. We ask that you just be in the show on tonight. Let everything that goes forth be lifting and edifying unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. You ready to roll? Yeah, I'm ready to go. We're gonna go ahead and get started with our show. And you want to bring on our first? We have a special guest that's gonna be. Actually, we're gonna have two special guests that's gonna be joining us. A young lady out of Newcastle, PA, who just published a Christian children book. My wife's gonna give you all the information. And as we get ready, before we introduce her, you just want to give a little information what you have?
Yes, we have a wonderful lady by the name of Vanessa Colvin. She is the author of a book entitled The Human Sunshine Emoji. And as far as I was reading, this book was released in September of 2020. So I've read some of it. I've also let my granddaughter look at a video that was online. Awesome, awesome work. And a great woman of God is coming to the line tonight. So we're going to bring Ms. Colvin on, and we'll get started. Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening. Welcome.
Hey, how are you? Yeah,
Thank you.
To the D&K Bible Break.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. I guess I'm going to get right into it. First of all, what made you want to write a children's Christian book?
So I always wanted to do something with children. And for a while, like my early 20s, I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to do, trying to figure out my purpose because I knew it was children, but I wasn't sure what I could actually do. So the Holy Ghost led me to actually write a book, and he actually used my pastor and our assistant pastor to speak through the power of the Holy Ghost to let me know that this book can touch so many children. So I'm in little Newcastle, Pennsylvania, but this book can go everywhere. So that's what inspired me. And they can start too. They can pray, and they can know at a young age that they can talk to Jesus and he'll answer their prayers even at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old.
Amen.
Wow, that's amazing. So I guess my next question is, we know why you wanted to write the book. So I know your father is a pastor, and
sure.
So I'm assuming you grew up saved, sanctified,
yes, sir,
and filled with the Holy Ghost. So we can just cut to the chase. So growing up in the church, you know, I'm assuming you have strong church roots, or let me take that back, strong spiritual roots. I don't want to say church, because everybody in the church ain't right, so strong
right.
spiritual roots.
Right.
Okay, and have any, by writing the book, has, how can I say this, being an author, you know, now that you're an author of a book, especially a children's book, do you do any children ministries? Are you involved in any ministries involving the children?
So when I was 16, I had to realize that that's when I was saved. I wasn't saved through my parents. So even though I was the preacher's kid, I had to realize for myself, okay, I have to have a relationship with God. So once I hit probably 17, 18, I started working with children in different churches. So we have at our church right now, it's called LIT, and it's Living in Truth. It's for the young kids. It's ages 5 to 18, and we work with them just to encourage them and let them know that we're there for them. And we also are opening a daycare, and I'm a part of that as well as my sister. And it's here at Whole Truth. So I love, love, love children. And actually, I'm pregnant at the moment. So I have a little baby on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
With congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you have any questions you want to ask?
I want to make a comment and maybe a question. But as I stated earlier, I let my granddaughter, you have a video, I think it was on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken, and I let her watch it. And the first thing she said was, I'm going to do that when I become a grown-up. And I had to tell her that, you know, you don't have to wait till you're grown-up. So, and then she said, do I got school tomorrow? And I said, yes, you do. So when she goes to school tomorrow, I told her she can incorporate Miss Victoria's attitude and, you know, encourage her friends. So she enjoyed watching the video. And she's fine. She enjoyed it. She enjoyed it. So I think it's a great outlet. The what you're doing is great for kids because they need to see things in action as far as how to relate things on their level. Like throughout the story, you show Miss Victoria going to her friends, encouraging each one. Each one had a different situation that they were facing. So the beautiful thing is it teaches them how to not be scared. You know, tell her the goodness of the Lord and let your friends know, you know, there's somebody who cares. So I really enjoyed it. So
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. That is the goal. I mean, I'm glad that she actually said that and that you actually told her that she can go to school and she doesn't even know at 5 years old that she can affect so many children in a positive way. So that's beautiful. So I appreciate that.
Well, we're going to spread it around because I think it's a great tool to even introduce the Lord to children, you know, at a younger age. To see them, it's not all that in the church building. You have to take it outside of the church building because you have to launch this thing out. So I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. Yes,
great. Yes, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. And I'm glad you guys are touching on, you know, being a tool that you can teach kids that they can go out and spread the gospel as well. And you don't have to do it inside a church building. And and this is just my opinion, and I could be wrong. I don't think I am. But a lot of people in the church are lackadaisical now, and they think they can't do anything outside of the church.
Yeah, that is the truth.
And we feel like
this actually happened for a reason with the COVID. So we're not just in the church. We have to go out. So.
Wow. Yeah. See, I'm going to get into that in a little bit. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But I just feel that as Christians and believers that we're losing a young generation right now because we're not ministering to them. And if we don't start when they're little at that little age, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we lose them because as babies, you know, little grandson can get on an iPad and know how to work it and get exactly where he wants to go. And yet they can't sit still in church for 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, you know, and before when we was coming up, I'm probably a little older than you, we had to sit down in church. We had to have a stint, even though we may have been hyper, we had to sit there during church services. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. And if you got walked out, you knew that you was getting a whooping. But today, you know, kids, they don't have the attention span, and the parents today don't know how to teach them how to have the intention. They don't know how to act when they go to church. You know, they give them an iPad instead of sitting there listening to the sermon.
Right.
And that's why it's very important. That's why I wanted to, when my brother was telling me about you, you know, I said, we have to get back to the kids because that's where it's going to start at. And there's, to me, seem like a lost generation, a lost group of young people that we've lost because they don't want to come to church no more. They don't even know how to act. They don't even know how to dress for church. And I know the Bible says, you know, you come as you are if you want to come comfortable and all of that. But, you know, we had church clothes when I was coming up. You know, if it wasn't but one suit, that was considered your church clothes. And that's what you wore. So it's just very important that we go back to doing that.
Yes, sir.
What I like about Ms. Victoria is teaching young people how to be disciples. So she's going out and she's telling people, and it's like that's what we're supposed to be doing. So to train them up at a young age in the manner of the way that is brought to them, that's brilliant, because in the future, you know, you need people from the ground up to be able to go out there and draw people unto Christ. So she's a great disciple. I enjoy Miss Victoria. If you want to elaborate about Victoria or give any information about the book, you're welcome to, you know, let the people know, you know, where to go, how to find it, and give us, you know, just a little brief synopsis of the book a little bit.
Yeah. So Victoria is just a young child. She's pretty much a preacher's child, but it doesn't actually state that. I was actually symbolizing myself, but in a younger version to reach the younger kids. So she just goes to her friends and she lets them know that even at 8 years old, because that's how old she is in the book, that you can pray to God and he'll turn the whole situation around. Pray to Jesus. We'll put Jesus because he is the Lord. Jesus is the one that can turn the situation entirely around. So, yes. And I wanted to make sure that I had different ethnicities in there just because you don't see a lot of young black children. So I did want the black children to relate to the book, but there are different characters in the book as well, just so that we can relate to each person, because there's no ethnicity with God. He does not care about color, race, gender, none of that.
Amen.
Oh,
you got
Miss
Layla.
It is on Amazon for print, Walmart, and it is also on Barnes & Noble. So if you want the print, it is on all three of those, Amazon, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble. And then the ebook is on Kubo and Apple Books. So if they wanted to just have it on their phone or their tablet, that's where it's available.
Awesome, awesome. You have one of the characters in there. Her name is Layla, and that's my granddaughter's name. So when you got to Layla, I got a little excited.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
A little excited. So it's a great book.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's definitely great, and it's a good – and then I just want to encourage, because I know we get a lot of listeners, a lot of Sunday school teachers, and just teachers, period. It's a good to have it in their classrooms to read it to their class and have it as a work study. At least that's what I'm going to let them know. You know, it's always good to see and support, especially in the black community. You know,
yes,
I understand different aspects, but, you know, coming from a black author, writing a book as well, it just, to me, is great all the way around. And I think that, again, I'm going to say this, the churches, in order for the churches to be strong again, we got to start teaching our young kids at a very early age about discipleship, about going out, telling people about the Lord. Because if you train them up, they will not depart. And I'm a firm believer of that. I'm a very firm believer of that. I got saved when I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old. But back then, you know, I would get saved every week. I don't know what week it was that it stuck that I didn't have to go back up there But that's just the way my father raised us. We just, you know, had to come to the altar every week because we were doing something we had no business doing. And now in the church, you don't have that altar experience no more. When you go to the altar, you know, when we got in trouble, we didn't get whooping. We were so, we'll meet you at the altar on Sunday morning. And that was so, it was the, it kept us in line, but it seemed like that, I'd rather have a whooping. I'd rather be on punishment for 2 weeks. My father said, just meet me at the altar on Sunday. And just come on down there. And you knew when kids would get in trouble because they would be down in the altar. You know, it was just, we don't have them type of experiences no more. Because, and I'm gonna bring your father on as well because he's a pastor. Mm-hmm. And it's just something I want to talk about because it seemed like we've gotten away from training our kids up. But also to have that altar experience, to be able to go there and have that conviction and have that truth, the truthness to come out. You know, that's what that's what I miss about church. And with COVID and everything, it's kind of hard to have that altar experience now. And to me, it's just an excuse to make the church powerless instead of powerful because we can't do certain things that we used to do. But at the same token, we can be more like disciples now than we ever could because, you know, some churches are not opening and you can only have so many people in church now. So now it's time for us to go out and to really do God's work and not just sit at home and don't do nothing like a lot of church people is doing and blaming COVID for everything.
Right.
So with me saying that, I'm going to introduce. I'm going to have your father come on, have my wife introduce him, and talk about how long he's been in the ministry and all these other good things. The only reason I'm having my wife do it because I'll mess names up in a minute, and I don't want to mess nobody's name up, and I want to be very respectful. So I'm going to have my wife introduce him, if he don't mind coming on as well. And we still going to talk about the book a little bit more. I just want to get a little things about what's going on in the church, and I want to get a pastor's opinion about what's going on in the church today. So I'm going to have my wife introduce you, and then we'll ask a couple questions to the pastor.
Right. Good evening. We have Mr. Keith Burley, and I say Mr. because in my era, I didn't get if he was the pastor, the bishop. I failed on that part, so I apologize in advance. He is over Whole Truth Pentecostal Ministries in Pennsylvania. Sir, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So we have a pastor on. I think he's from Newcastle, PA. I just want to get your feedback first before we start talking about the church. How do you feel about your daughter being an author of a book?
Well, my daughter's a very amazing person, and I think that as my daughter got older, she started to find herself instead of trying to find her identity through me or through the church or through my wife. And, you know, just watching that evolve was something great within itself. And so now as I see her as a young woman publishing a book that will have a major impact on children, I think that's very incredible.
Amen.
Amen.
What I like about that is that she had to find her identity outside of her parent. And a lot of us, you know, you think you go on the right road and you save because your dad, the pastor, your mom, the first lady, that means you got a ticket in, and it doesn't work like that. So the beautiful thing is she's young, and not only did she find her way, she's doing an awesome work for the Lord in everything that she's enlightened us with tonight. So I praise God for that.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, because, you know, as pastor's kids, you know, we got a reputation. And ain't all good when you're growing up being a pastor's kid. I grew up a pastor's kid, and some of the pastor kids that I knew, some of them just was not, they raised more hell than they just raised a lot of hell. So it's always good to when you see, for me, because it's like a fraternity. If you're a pastor's kid, you're in a fraternity because you know better. You just know better. And
okay.
And sometimes, you know, we do go astray, but we come back. You know, me, I've been saved. I'm 49. I've been saved 38 years. And in 38
okay.
years, I can honestly say I've been running with the Lord. But I've seen a lot of people stray. Some came back. Some didn't make
mm-hmm.
it. And that's why it's very important. And I'm all for, you know, the young people, especially in the church, to have a strong presence in the church, not just on Easter Sunday and Christmas where they get up and read little poems. I'm talking about all year round being active in the church. So
mm-hmm.
with that being said, I just want to ask the pastor, how do you feel with the COVID and everything going on? I know every church has had to adjust. Do you feel the church is more, I don't know what word I want to say. I'm just going to say, you think the church is more powerful now or less powerful? And I don't want to single out any church. I'm just saying as a whole, the church as a whole, because we see a lot of stuff going on in the world today and it's crazy. And I'm just wondering where the church folks at, where's the leaders at? So I just want to get your opinion on what you think is going on in the world today.
I think that what we need to understand is that the enemy has tried to drive us away from the only place that's dealing with fear. And because that's happening, we're sort of like in a weakened state because people are staying at home. People are staying to themselves. That's not good because you become isolated. You become an attack. You know, you're open for attacks from the enemy because there's no one around to encourage you. And so, you know, we must have we must make adjustments to church services. You know, whatever the governor says, we abide by that. Whatever the CDC says, we abide by that. We do wear masks, but we do come to the sanctuary because that's where we come to meet God and get our answers to what's going on with life's problem.
Amen.
So I'm starting to get a feel for you. So I say a lot of stuff, and, you know, because I'm old school, I just believe the old school way is just, you know, you go to church, you have church. I don't think that so I'm this new day age church, even with the COVID, the, you know, not being able to come to the altar the way you want to, not being able to cry it out, hug it out. It just seems like it's making the church less powerful. And it seems like, and this is just my opinion, that the devil then came in and took the power out of the church, because you see so much stuff going on in the church today that you didn't see years ago, but you see it now, even with COVID. It's just like, okay, it's okay. And everyone wants to say, and I'm just glad I got a pastor on that can just speak on this, because, you know, when you watch commercials now, you see commercials with two men and two women, two men as if they're in a relationship, or two women as if they're in a relationship. And everyone don't want to talk about it because they want to use that this word, love, God is love, and God loves everything and everybody. And we don't preach holiness no more. And you know, sin is sin as far as I'm concerned, you know. And if you sin, you know, there's no biblical word I'm about to say, but you're going to bust hell wide open if you keep sinning and you don't repent. But you don't hear preachers preaching that too much anymore. Everybody going to heaven as long as you love everybody and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to get your opinion on that. I just, you know, just opening it up just for a little conversation on what you think and how do you feel about some of those things.
Well, I feel that clean is still clean and dirty is still dirty. I believe that holy is still holy, and that God has not altered anything. It's people that have altered it.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of secular humanism creep into the church and make it seem as though that's the norm. But that's not the norm, because we have to always go back to what did the Bible say?
Right.
Not my
Correct.
Opinion, not your opinion. What did the Bible say? God created Eve for an Adam in order for them to be able to populate the earth.
Right.
and replenish. So you're not even part of that process, two men and two women, because that was not what it was intended for in the first place. But we have to get to the point where we make people understand that once you're attached to a ministry or whoever's ministry may be attached to, you have to realize what you are attached to. This is not about church anymore. This is about a kingdom relationship with a living God who sent his son to die for us, and we must find our identity. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all these old things are going to pass away. So what's passing away? It's those old things that we used to do, those old thought processes we used to have. So if you have a thought process that's not right, then turn those folks over to the Lord and let the Lord work it out, like that song was saying, because he's the only one that's going to work it out. Anyone else interfering with that, you're going to cause a mess. So we must still preach what the Bible says, still must stay on the biblical principles and laws and make people abide by that, because once a person becomes aware of what they are attached to, there will be no falling away. Because who would want to leave a program that's geared for your success?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor. I like the way you're talking. And let's just give a little information about, because I'm getting some text messages, just a little bit about yourself, the church, and how long you've been pastoring.
I got ordained in the Church of God in Christ in 1993. And I stayed there for a while, and then I finally felt a call to come out and do something different because I felt like I was going through a revolving door. I was going to church. I had no problem going to church, but I didn't feel effective.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I told the Lord,
wow,
okay, there's some other things that I need to do. And so I was taking a ride one Sunday morning. I saw a church where there were a bunch of people going, and the cop was directing traffic. And so while I'm riding in my car, I asked the Holy Ghost a question. I said, what is that fellow teaching that I'm not teaching? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, the truth. Well, now I had to go back and check myself and say, well, okay, what am I teaching? And I found a lot of scriptures that I thought I knew to be erroneous because it was somebody told somebody that told somebody that told somebody that told somebody.
Wow.
And nobody went to study.
Yeah.
Right? So now you got to go study that word for yourself, because the Bible simply says, didn't say read the book. It said study, show thyself approved under God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, because you're going to rightly divide this word. And so when you start rightly dividing this word, you realize, wait a minute, I'm in a church that's operating off of a somewhat Babylonian system, because we're frying fish, we're cooking chicken, we got fundraisers, we got all these things besides what the Lord is setting in process for us to acquire money. Your tithing is going to bring money to you. Your giving is going to bring money to you. And so Galatians 6:7 says, God not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mm-hmm. So we sow money that we would get money. You're not going to go to your garden and plant tomatoes and go looking for corn. You didn't put corn in there. Because
amen.
That's a law. Yeah, that's a law that we have to respect. And so in 2017, I asked the Holy Ghost that question, and I stepped away from the church for like 3 months just to be with me and the Lord, just talking to him. And so I told him, I said, okay, I feel like you're leading me to open up a ministry. But the ministry is not going to be church. It's going to be kingdom-minded. It's going to be community-minded. Because here's the problem with most preachers. The problem with most preachers is that you're not a viable part of your community. You want to come out and somewhat end up looking like a supervisor when there's things being done in your community instead of getting your hands dirty. And so I've come to the understanding of simply this. If you are not part of the solution, you may be part of the pollution. You may be the problem. Because, you know, I'm here. I have a church. We purchased a building in Newcastle, 1204 West Washington Street. We've been in this building for 1 year. I got 5 businesses in this building. I have 5 people in this building that actually got up and started a business. I got another person that's on deck to start their business. We've opened up a daycare. I'm going to be a community hub that just happens to have a sanctuary in it, and it's not going to have anyone have to come to my church in order for me to help them. I'm going to impact my community in a positive way, and if they understand what I'm doing, they'll come. I won't have to ask them to come. All I need to do is provide a great program, and they'll come back to the program.
Amen.
I love that. See, that makes so much sense. It's common sense, but it's also spiritual sense to helping the community in different areas. They know where to come to get their spiritual help as well. And what you ain't got to beg, borrow, no, you know, that's, you know, the Lord will draw people just by you saying that. I can tell. And my brother already told me, and he know a lot of preachers and pastors, and we both do, but he spoke very highly of you. So something must have touched him to tell him to talk to me, because what you just said just touched me, just the way you're going about it. And you know, I know a lot of preachers that go out, they try to recruit, you know, steal members, and, you know, they got a gimmick. And you know, when you've been called by the Lord and you're building up His kingdom, you don't really need a gimmick. You really don't. And the Lord will send who He wants to send.
Right, that's the problem. Once you get them here, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit around and just have church? Are we just going to sit around and have Bible study? Or are we going to go out and impact the community? Are we going to, you know, I take money every month out of this ministry, and I sow it back into some viable entity in the city. So the City Rescue Mission, March of Dimes, Red Cross, Salvation Army, those type of entities that already have guidelines set up. I've sowed money back into the community from this church, and we've never had any problem with securing money, because it's always been someone that comes and gives to me, because, again, Luke 6:38 says, if you give, it's going to be given. And so I practice that law all the time, and I see it in effect. But you must have a program that's going to make people grow. You just can't bring them here and say, okay, let's have church. When we get through with that church service, there's going to be 6 more days between the time you see me again. What are you going to do for those 6 days? Are you going to sit at home and do nothing? Or are you going to understand that God has put something self-productive in all of us, like my daughter, and brought that book out, which it would have never been brought out had I not spoken to them about being self-productive and getting away from this whole system that's Babylonian, where we are waiting for some social system to lift us up. The church should be helping the community. The community should not be helping the church.
Wow.
That's some culture change right there. That's what I love. You're changing the culture, and you're changing the way things are done. And a lot of churches, it's like if you're not their member, that's all they deal with. They're not going outside the members of their church. And what you said is not just for your ministry, it's for the people in the community. So you're helping everybody, not just. If you're not a member of this church, go away. I'm not helping you. And I see a lot of churches doing that. And that's not right. That's not the work of the Lord. So I commend you on what you're doing in your area. It sounds like an awesome program. And I wish you the best in all that you're doing. It sounds very awesome. Changing the culture. So that's beautiful. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm, you know, my wife will tell you, I deal with a lot of preachers on a daily basis, and, you know, you didn't say it in a few minutes, we got to have you come back and not only to talk about your ministry, but to bring forth a word, because I'm excited when the kingdom grows, we all grow.
That's right.
You know, and when you see people trying to reach other people or trying to help other people, and it's just not based upon whether you believe, because some people don't believe and they don't have a reason to believe. I grew up in a church, so, you know, I'm spoiled to the fact of the word of God. But some people who was not like me, who don't know nothing, and yet they may need help, but because they're not a part of Church of God in Christ, or they're not Baptist, or they're not this, they get frowned upon. And some people just need to hear the word rightly divine. Just preach to them, not as a member, but just in general. So, yeah, I really do commend you for what you're doing, and I commend your daughter for the book. It sounds like you guys, from what I hear, you guys are really growing over there in Newcastle. And, you know, we would definitely would love to partner with you and pray with you, and you, we can be any help to the ministry. You know, we just a phone call away, whatever we can do. On Chaos Talk Radio, we would definitely love to support and help in any way that we can, especially ministries that are trying to help people who are lost. And
that's great. That's
in
great
the community. In the community. Because that's what that's what discipleship is about, helping people in the community. And maybe by us helping them, you know, they would lend us their ear so they can hear the gospel. While we're helping them, we can plant that seed and let it grow. So with that being said, but like my wife said, a lot of churches, you know, you just, if you ain't part of the clique or the crew, you know, they shut you out, you know. And there's a lot of people out there that are hungry that need to be fed. And if they're not a part of it, you know, that needs to be fed. And that's natural food and also spiritual food. And if they're not, so we need to go out and help them. So I definitely commend you for everything that you've done and for your daughter for writing the book. I'm just anxious, you know, how did she get to be, you know, as pastor's kids, you know, I like to joke, you know, she said, you know, she found the Lord at 16, 17, and you know, I can only imagine what it was like growing up, and with you being the pastor, or you know, just growing up in a spiritual house. When you get it in your late teens, it seems like to me you'd be I don't want to say a better disciple, because that's just not, but I don't know how to say it. My father wasn't strict on us. There were certain discipline things that he had for us. You know, we allowed to play football. We wasn't, you know, he didn't keep us in the house. And we would mess up every week. That's why we was at the altar every week, too. We would do something we had no business doing.
Okay.
But he didn't treat us like, you know, I know a lot of my friends that grew up that was pastor's kids was very strict. They wasn't allowed to do nothing. And for that reason, some of them left here early, not knowing who the Lord was, and some of them that got strong, just went crazy because they didn't know how to handle certain things. But then again, you said something too, Pastor. I don't want to keep talking, but you said a lot that I just want to just touch on about, you know, a lot of preachers is preaching from the Word, but they don't know the Word. They just heard someone repeat it, a copycat, and they don't know it for themselves. And when you copycat, sometimes you're not effective copycat, because you're not rightly dividing the Word. You're just saying what someone else said. And that's just not good, because, you know, I can put on a pilot hat and a pilot shirt and you think I'm a pilot. But if you try to get me to drive that plane, we're going to crash. I don't know nothing what I'm doing. I just look smart. And that's what's going on in the church, that you got a lot of preachers and pastors and teachers just look the part. And that's why the church is really, in my opinion, is weak.
Yeah. Well, that's where we have to change that, because we have to get to the point where we understand that we're serving a holy God who sees us all the time. So, yeah, a lot of people think, well, no, the people didn't see me, or the parishioners didn't see me, the first lady didn't see me, the missionary didn't see me. Hey, God watching you. You know, I walk up to people and I see them put a cigarette down. I say, hey, you know what? I'm not really that important. I'm just here to say hello. How you doing today? And if you don't take that cigarette out of your pocket, your coat's going to catch on fire, because God been watching you smoke before I even walked up here. So, you know, we got to get that thing out of our head. You know, nothing wrong with having respect for the man of God, but the man of God ought to have respect for himself, to the point where he carries himself in the community where people respect him, without him demanding respect, without him walking up and telling somebody, don't you know I'm the preacher? Don't you know I'm the pastor? You know, for the most part in my church, if I didn't have a headset on, you wouldn't know who I was, because that's not what I'm about. I'm trying to get us to understand that this is a kingdom vision. This is a kingdom understanding. This is a kingdom mindset. This is not church. This is not that democratic society that we set up where we get this pastor who picks this group of people, and this group of people runs the church, and the pastor is basically getting his money and preaching the sermons on Sunday, but he got deacon so-and-so and trustee so-and-so running the affairs of the church. You're the Levite that's standing in the gap. You're the guy that's supposed to be administering to the building. That is not designed for these other people. God resolved that to us. And so if you do not run that building, you're really not the guy in control. So when things go awry, they'll point their finger to you and say it went wrong. But while it's going, nobody's pointing their finger. So as men and women of God, we need to understand what our role is and who we are and whose we are. And that will keep us from a lot of that facade that we walk around looking like we're somebody that we're not. Because, you know, I was talking to my daughter today. I said I could get a gold chain, purple shirt, and I could be gold plated and make it look like I'm somebody's bishop somewhere. At the end of the day, who are we? Are you really the servant that God's calling for you to be? Or are you trying to be somebody that the Lord never called? I'm trying to be the servant that the Lord called me to be. And whatever God has for me, no one will stop it. My motto is that there's what we grasp by faith will turn into physical matter, because we live in a world that deals with space, time, and matter. Something physically has to show up to be the evidence of your prayer.
Amen. I love it. I was thinking about everything that you were saying, and what keeps coming to mind, there is a saying that I heard. I can't remember where I heard it at. Maybe it's a song, I'm not sure, but it says that people don't care what you know until they know that you really care. And
yes.
So a lot of the times, you know, you can put on a facade and you can be behind the pulpit. You can be wherever you are with your collar on, and people want you to be real, and they know if you're real or not. So when you show that you care, that's how you draw people. That's how you draw people to the Lord. You don't have to tell them who you are. I'm bishop this, I'm minister this. No, I am just your name. I'm nobody. I am a servant of the Lord. That's all you need to know. And you should just let your light shine and talk to that person. You don't have to give out your titles. And a lot of people want to put their titles out there, and it's like, be real and just talk to people. Tell the goodness of the Lord. That's all we need to do. And from what I'm hearing, by you setting up the community building the way that you have it set up, it's drawing, like you said, not only on that Sunday, but the other 6 days of the week. We got to live outside the church. So that's what we all should be doing. There should be somewhere for our people to go in the community, to the daycares or everything else that's being opened up. We need to do better as a whole. We got to draw people the right way and not with our titles.
Yeah,
you
got to
show
true.
Them that you can.
Yes,
sir.
I agree with you. You know, I had a lady that I went to church with, and her, there's a motto that she had. She said, let your life be your loudest testimony. And that's true, because it's not going to be what, you know, people really see you doing behind the scenes. It's going to be that getting down and dirty, getting out in the neighborhood, getting up with some of them boys that you know they're flipping and rolling, but you can still say hello to them and ask them how their day's going without you preaching to them. So I go into the community, I talk to everybody. I know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. I don't have to tell bad people that they're bad. They already know they're bad.
Yes. Amen. 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 You don't got to point everything out. Most of the time, people just want a line of communication. Talk to them. You tell them the goodness of the Lord, they're going to see it in your everyday walk. You don't have to boast and be this big person and act like you better than anybody. Just talk to people.
Yes.
Talk to them. Give them the respect, and then they'll respect you.
Yeah.
That's
you don't find common ground with them. Yeah. If you don't find common ground with them, you're really not having a conversation. First thing to do is find some common ground. Hello. Good morning. How are you doing today? And if those people see that you're really concerned about how they're feeling, they'll tell you how they feel. You won't have to ask them how they're feeling. They'll be like, hey, preacher, can you pray for me? Or I'm coming to your church. You know, I'm not going out, you know, soliciting folk to tell them to come to the ministry. I'm just trying to be visible in my community, and I'm going to revitalize the part of town that I'm on and get some other folk to stir up the other side of town and show people what the kingdom looks like that comes to the community.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I just want to take the time to thank you and your daughter for, you know, coming on the show, sharing the book and sharing your church and your vision. And I know a lot of the listeners are enjoying what they hear, and a lot of them are saying, wow, because we don't have that in our community. You know, we have a lot of churches, but you don't have a church where you can, you know, come and be a community church, or you can come in and you know, get help without, you know, getting a hookup, you know.
Right.
So that's a great. And then you just, I think, you know, but the reason I'm so in awe with it is because a lot of preachers I've had on the show, and my wife can contest, you don't hear what we just heard. It's rare that you hear what you just said. It's rare. You know, you got to push the preacher. You got to pump them up, talk about how many degrees they got, how good of a preacher they are, and all these other issues. And never once did they mention anything about the community. Not one time did they say anything about the community. And going forward, you know, I'm just going to use it as a test question. Next preacher I have, pastor I have on the show, how many times did they mention the community? They're trying to uplift the community. They're trying to change the community without them puffing themselves up.
Yeah.
And everyone know that know my show know I will call them out. I'm just going to see, because I just believe in speaking the truth, because the truth will set you free. The truth will hurt sometimes, but it will set people free. And
well, that's how we got the name.
Like we said, say that again.
That's how we got the name Old Truth.
Yeah.
Not the whole truth. Yeah, we're not going to butter it up. We're not going to water it down. We're going to give you the whole truth.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I like. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And when we do that, you will see souls come for the Lord. You just see it.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to appreciate you and your daughter and her book. It definitely was a winner in our house. I'm not just saying that, but it really was. It's good to be able to meet you. I heard a lot about you. And next time I go home, which will be real soon, to Ohio, I will definitely be checking your church out.
Yeah, we invite you to come.
I want to be where the truth is. I definitely want to be where the truth is. Because I also like to help support in any kind of way that we can. So if we can be of any help, and I do say this, and I don't say I really do, if we can be of any help, please let us know. We'll reach out from right here in Lawrenceville, Georgia, and we will be able to help. If any of my sponsors, and I know that they're listening, like they always do, if we can be of any help to you to help the community, that's what it's all about. And
that's good. We are incorporated, and we are a 501c3. And each quarter, we have what I call Love Feast, where we just put food together and invite folks over on a Sunday afternoon after church to come over and have a free meal. We're not charging you for anything. We're not putting out tickets. We're not doing any of that. So I open it up to the community. Some people come to church, and some people just come to the dinner. Whether you come to my church, doesn't matter. You can still come to the dinner.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, since you said that, I'm going to send some Pepsi over there to you.
Okay.
We'll send some Pepsi. You know, I sent some Diet over there, some Pepsi Zero, but we'll send some I got that kind of pool. We can send some Pepsi.
Okay.
Just let me know the month that you have it, and I'll set it up with the vendor, because they are my major sponsor, and, you know, they be wanting me to do this kind of. Since you are serving the community, I want to be a part of serving the community, too. I just don't want to serve the church. I want to help serve the community as well, not just the church folks. I don't want to be spiritually racist, you know, only help church people. I want to help the community. Whether they come for church or not, you know, they can still get a plate. So that's what we want to be a part.
Yeah. We have people in this community that have a death in their family, and I've written checks to them to help them with some of the costs. You know, defer some of the costs for that. And, you know, we're not out there saying put me in the paper. I don't need you to take my picture. I don't need you to show me a video. I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do. And as long as I remain God's servant, he's going to give me money for every good work. So I'm not worried about being able to service this community. I have the hub right now. So now the only thing I need to do is initiate what I've already put in place, and we're going to be a viable part of this community. And when you come, you can see the transparency. There's nothing here to hide. We'll show you exactly what we're doing in this community and how we're impacting it on an everyday basis.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. My brother speaks very highly of y'all. Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all call him Rico or Mr. I don't know what y'all call him. That's my brother, Rick.
I call him Brother Oliver. I call him Brother Oliver.
Brother Oliver. Okay. Well, you tell Brother Oliver.
I'm also talking with him about putting some programs together in this church because there's a hall here where you can speak to some of those veterans. I can't speak to them. I'm not on that platform. But I'm trying to set up some classes that they can come and get some type of relief from another soldier. And so, you know, him and I have those talks going on right now.
Okay, well, good. I'm going to pray that works out. I'm going to pray that comes manifest. Because I know he has a big heart for that, too. So, and he speaks, like I say, he speaks very highly of you. And I told him that when I come back home, I'm gonna come check you out. And I definitely want to do that. I just want to take this time to thank you and your daughter for coming on the show some close to that 8 o'clock hour. And again, I'm gonna have her come back and just give her where they can get the book at again, and the different website. And you want to give your Facebook page out, or you have any social media pages that people can follow you on? You can give all that out right now.
Okay, so all the platforms that I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then I have a YouTube. If you just type in Vanessa Colvin, it'll come up. And the human sunshine emoji, again, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Kubo, and Apple Books.
Amen. Okay. And, Pastor, you wanted to give one more shout-out about your church, where it's located. And are you live streaming service now?
Yes.
Okay. And have someone want to come and just check you out that's not in Pennsylvania, they just want to watch you on Facebook Live or however they can get a hold of you on social media?
Okay. Our address is 1204 West Washington Street, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, 16101. We have a live that we put on every Sunday, and we're at Whole Truth. It's Whole Truth Worship Center.com. Whole Truth Worship Center.com. You can pick up our live on Sundays.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you, me and my wife.
What time do y'all
close
on Sunday?
10 o'clock.
Ten o'clock.
10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
All right. Well, we will definitely be watching. We'll definitely be checking you guys out. And again, I just want to thank you for the time, for coming on the show. And we'll definitely be keeping you guys in prayer. And again, I'm very sincere when I say I'm going to let me know when you guys do your dinner. I'm going to definitely send some Pepsi products for you guys for a fact. I'm going to make that happen. Just let me know when, and I'll make sure that we get the right people to you so you can get that. That's the least
we
can do. And if we can do anything else, it is be an honor to help you, help the community. And, we definitely want to be a part of that. So with that being said, I'm going to ask my beautiful wife to dismiss us in prayer. And, again, thank you guys for being on tonight. For all those that are listening, we just want to say thank you. I'm going to give you a rundown of our schedule. Tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study is at 7 p.m. Same web online, www.blogtalkradiochaostalk with Derek Oliver. Same phone number, 845-277-9094. Praise Tabernacle Bible Study tomorrow, 7 p.m. Also, Thursday night is our Bishop Omar Zachary Family Ministries at 7 p.m., same website, same phone number. But also you can catch that on Facebook Live at Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. That's the Facebook page. And then also Friday night, we're kicking off our revival, the last part of our revival, Chaos Talks Revival, Where Do You Stand? With Minister, with Elder Richard Taylor will be the guest speaker that night. Saturday at p.m. will be Minister Tobert. And on Sunday morning, we have an evangelist, Dove Stanton, that will close us out in the revival. And that's the schedule for the week. Thank everyone for listening to the show. And Kay is going to close us out with prayer.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight just thanking you for an awesome show. Thank you for just imparting into us being true disciples and true leaders and true servants of you. Thank you for just lifting us up in everything that we do that's going to be edifying unto you. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your direction, your protection, everything that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for us getting outside the four walls of the church and going out into the community and reaching the people, not just the people on the pews. So we thank you for that, and we honor you. We ask that you continue to bless all the ministries that are going forth that are doing things the way you called them to do it. We honor you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. We pray for everyone throughout the week that they have a blessed week until we meet again on Monday, if it's your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.